It's time to play like a Jet with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Mekhi Becton, ladies and gentlemen, human beings that large should not run as fast as Mekhi Becton did. And if you like people just abusing other humans, the Mekhi Becton tape is for you.
Wilson going to the air. Chased out by Daquan Jones. Wilson looking end zone, wide open, touchdown! First NFL touchdown for Zach Wilson! And it goes to Corey Davis. Crowder trying to get him out of space. Slips a tackle, and there he goes! Crowder! It's a foot race, and Crowder is in there! A 69-yard touchdown.
Hill hit immediately when he got the handoff.
You know who that's?
The Q-inator.
Oh my gosh!
Listen, thank you.
From the PlayLikeAJet.com digital studio, this is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And it is time for the Jets and the Falcons pregame report. So for that, we bring in the owner, the operator, the lead reporter, the whole shebang over at JetsInsider.com. And above all that, a very big deal, Mr. Chris Nimbley. Chris, you ready? 9:30 a.m. football. Feels like we're on the West Coast today.
Top of the morning to you, cheerio, all that good stuff. I love my morning football, and this will be great too to get the work out of the way. So to get morning football, have an article written and everything, and then I get to enjoy the rest of the day just sitting on my couch. Yeah, that's how I like it.
We know that win or lose, John Franklin Myers certainly going to enjoy the day. He signed a four-year, $55 million contract extension with the Jets earlier in the week, $30 million guaranteed. He spoke for the first time publicly since signing the contract, broke down in tears while addressing the media in London, and said that the first person he thought of when he signed the contract was his son, and he said that he plays football for his son, which is a remarkably touching moment. What a story for John Franklin Myers. Here's a guy who, in 2018 in the Super Bowl, had a sack against Tom Brady after being a sixth-round pick by the Rams. You'd think, how much better could it get than that? He ends up getting cut the next offseason because there was a logjam at the position for the Rams. The Jets wisely grabbed him off the waiver wire, ended up being hurt, so he didn't play the entire 2019 season, comes back in 2020, has a really, really good year once he works himself in as a starter, and then this year off to a huge start as well. You have to say this was smart for the Jets to strike like this. They don't normally make these types of moves. As I was telling you before we started recording, the last time they did it was Quincy Enunwa. Hopefully it works out better than that. All due respect to Quincy. Really good player, just couldn't stay on the field. But this was smart for the Jets because if Franklin Myers continued to play like this and got to double-digit sacks, he was going to be worth a ton on the open market. And then, of course, for John Franklin Myers, from what I understand, he really likes it here, likes Salah, loves playing with Quinnen Williams, Foley Fadakasi, all those guys, feels like this is home. And so as long as the Jets were willing to give him what he and his agent perceived to be right around market value, he wanted to get this done. That's what happened. And so John Franklin Myers sticks around. I think this deal works out really well for both sides.
Yeah, the Jets did the thing that I'm always advocating for when it comes to players. If you know you're going to sign somebody or want to sign somebody, you sign that person the second you know. The very second you know you signed that extension for them, because you lock in the cheapest price possible at that point. They're watching him go, and they're like, okay, if we wait till the end of the season, the price is only going up. Like, we know we want him back. We know they're sitting there thinking, we want him next to Quinnen. We want him and Quinnen and Carl Lawson next year. That's what they're thinking right now in their head. And we've all been talking about it and thinking about it, watching the defense last week and been like, man, imagine how good this defense could be if they had Carl Lawson, if they had some of these other players that are missing with injury. And now the Jets are thinking, well, he's coming along really well. We need to make sure we have him for Carl Lawson and with Quinnen Williams. And yeah, you brought up the Quincy Enunwa. Obviously, long-time listeners of the show know how much I love Quincy. But the injury history, even at the time they signed him, there was like, we don't know. And then obviously that blew up. But that was, even then, that was at the end of the season. It's rare to see the Jets do this this early in the season. But again, you're watching him going, and the price was only going up. So good for him. Good for the Jets. Good for Joe Douglas to lock that up. But yeah, this is a really cool story for him to go from, you know, getting cut after your rookie year and then having to sit on IR. There's no way that he's sitting there thinking, all right, I'm, you know, $30 million guaranteed. It's just around the corner for me. It's just around the corner. I'm right there. I'm right. There's no way he thought that. And then for the Rams, you just, it's one of those situations where they had the logjam and they picked wrong. I'll go into another sport a little differently, but it reminds me a little bit of like when the Thunder had, you know, they end up trading James Harden to keep everybody else together. It's like, hey, maybe you should have kept Harden. Maybe you should let Ibaka or Westbrook go. Maybe you should get Harden. The Rams chose wrong because it would be really nice for them to have him next to Aaron Donald and then with Jalen Ramsey outside. But either way, Rams lost, Jets gains. The Jets fans are obviously excited. And I'm excited that we're not going to have to answer questions about this pretty much weekly. Because this is what happens when a player like John Franklin Myers starts playing well. Everybody's always like, are they going to sign him? Are they going to sign him? And I'm always like, they should. But now they got it done early and we move.
If you want to know how high the bidding could have potentially gotten, look at what the Giants ended up having to give Leonard Williams, 3 years, $63 million. So to get John Franklin Myers for significantly less than that means that you don't have to risk the bidding getting up to that level. I don't know that it would have gotten quite that high, but it certainly could have gotten higher. As you said, Chris, if he keeps playing like this, the price was only going to go up. But John Franklin Myers, not the only one who got some good news this week. Zach Wilson did too. Offensive Rookie of the Week, a huge step forward for the number two overall pick in the 2021 draft.
Well, it's certainly better than four interceptions in a week. And it's certainly better than, you know, being a meme and like on the internet where people are just, you know, having a 12-year-old kid do clips of criticizing everything about, like, yeah, it's certainly a much better step than that. It's just 1 week. So you fans, you're going to need to want to see a bunch of these piled up. But yeah, it's a sign of progress. That's for sure.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
For nearly four decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Injury report. Jets are going to be missing Adrian Colbert, which a couple of weeks ago I would have laughed at, but he's actually played pretty well. Tyler Kroft is out. We know Marcus May is out. Jeff Smith is out. Brandon Echols looks like he's probably going to play. Nathan Shepard, questionable. Denzel Mims, he's eligible to play, but I'm not so sure that he's going to be active. He could because of Jeff Smith, but I wouldn't bank on it, and even if he is active, as we saw, it looks like they're not going to do much with him. And Elijah Moore, that's the big one. He's back for today's game. So we'll get to see Elijah Moore, and hopefully now with Jamison Crowder there and the offense starting to cook a little bit, Elijah Moore can start to put his fingerprints on this offense.
Yeah, I won't be surprised at all if Mims is active. I just don't necessarily expect him to see the field that much. Maybe I could just go ahead, you know, the Falcons missing a couple receivers, just go ahead and let him play for the Falcons. Get like, what do you think? You know, give him like the Jets a fifth round draft pick just to loan him for the game. Just do something along those lines. Jets aren't going to use him. But yeah, that is, I won't expect him to see the field too much. Jamison Crowder, Elijah Moore to expand Wilson's targets there.
Falcons have some players hurt as well, as you referenced. Their two top receivers are out. Calvin Ridley and Justin Gage, both not going to be playing. Marlon Davidson, the defensive lineman, is out. Eric Harris, the safety, and Avery Williams, the corner. So you have to imagine that Kyle Pitts will get plenty of targets and Cordarrelle Patterson's going to get a lot of touches. So that's where the Jets' efforts are going to be heavy. Now let's talk a little bit about the props, the over-unders, the spread and all of that, Chris. And we'll start with the Falcons being a 3-point favorite. I was kind of surprised at this. Both teams were off to a shaky start this season. I thought this might have been closer to a pick 'em, especially since even though Atlanta's technically the home team, it's really on a neutral field. What do you think here?
Yeah, it's a little surprising. Also, just real quick, I want to add, if the Jets can make this a trend where every team they face the rest of the year, top two receivers don't play, I think they could really do something this season. Just make that happen the rest of the season, and they got a chance here. Yeah, I was a little surprised at the spread, too. You know, obviously I get being down on the Jets, but I don't understand having any positive enthusiasm for the Falcons. Like, this should just be a pick 'em just because, like, yeah. What else? Like, I don't know. Cordarrelle Patterson has looked really great. Arthur Smith's drawn up some stuff for him. That's been really cool. But he's, like, the one thing that Atlanta's got going for him, especially with Ridley and Gage out. I don't understand how they're favorites, but so for that reason alone, well, see, now if I was just doing this from a betting perspective, I'd say that you got to take the points because it just doesn't make sense. But also, I'm kind of sitting here thinking the Jets just won last week. I don't want to pick them. And then again, then they didn't need to prove it to me again. And this is also a London game. Anything could happen. More reason why it should be a pick 'em game. But now I'm, you know what? Give me the points. I'm taking the Jets. I flip-flop back and forth like 3 or 4 times in that answer.
Over under 45.5.
I'm going under on this. Neither, you know, it's not like Falcons defense is that great. And this, but Jets defense playing pretty well. And with the Falcons missing these types of weapons, yeah, let's go under there.
Jets total points over under 20.5.
I'm going to go over, say they just creep over.
Falcons total points over under 24.
Oh, well, yeah, see, I'm going under there. Where are they getting these points from?
First half spread, Jets plus 2.5.
You know what? Let's go Falcons on this one just because the Jets been doing this slow start stuff. Maybe they can, you know, London's 6 hours ahead. Maybe that helps. But, yeah, I'm going to wait and see. They need to prove it to me in the first half.
First half, total points, 21.5 is the over-under.
Yeah, under.
First half, total points, New York Jets over-under, 9.5.
Under.
First half, total points, over-under, Atlanta Falcons, 10.5.
Under.
Player touchdown props, Cordarrelle Patterson, minus 110.
Where else are they going for it? I love Kyle Pitts, but he's not ready to dominate takeover game. So sure.
Speaking of Kyle Pitts, he's minus 110.
Now, I not this week. I know I've seen a bunch of people saying if Kyle Pitts is ever going to break out, it's got to be this week. And I don't understand why they're saying that. Jets defense has been pretty good. And again, rookie tight ends take a while. They don't, it doesn't matter how good they are, they don't come in and contribute right away. So there's a lot to do with involving learning, blocking situations, all that timing stuff, or no.
Just to punctuate your point on that one, Chris, here's what tight ends have done against the Jets so far this season. Dan Arnold, Carolina, 2 catches, 6 yards. Hunter Henry, New England, 2 catches, 42 yards. Jonnu Smith, New England, 4 catches, 28 yards. Noah Fant, Denver, 2 catches, 15 yards. Anthony Fersker, Tennessee, 3 catches, 23 yards. So I'm not saying Pitts can't have a big day. I'm just saying, based on that, I wouldn't really bank on it. Plus, as you said, Pitts has gotten off to a bit of a slow start. And on top of that, the Jets are going to be targeting him all day because of the fact that they know that Matt Ryan doesn't have that many places to go with the football. Although one other place he does have to go is Mike Davis, who I'm sure is going to get plenty of carries. He's minus 110.
To get the touchdown is going to be tough. I'm going to say no, but I do want to add, I have been really impressed with Mike Davis. Why I've seen some of the tape of him running this year. He is just breaking tackles. He's getting no help. Everything productive that he's doing is all because of him. He's like breaking 7 tackles to gain 2 yards. It's been amazing to watch.
Corey Davis plus 125.
Yes, give it to me.
Michael Carter plus 125.
Give it to me.
Olamide Zaccheaus, I hope I said that right, plus 125.
Nah.
Hayden Hurst, plus 175.
Yeah, that seems like a good sneaky one if I believe in the Falcons scoring a lot of points, which I don't, so no.
Here's one I kind of like, Jamison Crowder, plus 175.
Yeah, that feels like a good one. I like that as well.
The returning Elijah Moore, plus 225.
Yeah, I'm going to stay away from this, but this is – it could happen. It could definitely happen this week, and if it doesn't happen this week, it's coming. It's coming real soon for him.
Tajay Sharp, plus
225. I mean, they need somebody, but no.
Ty Johnson, plus
225. No, I guess at this point I've got to shift Michael Carter getting those much more likely. So go yes on Carter, no on Ty.
Falcons defense special teams plus 275.
Not enough. That's still a Zach at this point, still is even expecting him progress. It's not a bad bet a lot of times, but that's not enough of a juice for me to take that. I'm going now.
Jets defense special teams plus 275.
Nah, it's Matt Ryan's not exactly a turnover machine, so. We'll go now there.
Christian Blake, plus 310.
No.
Keelan Cole, plus
310. That's just a good sneaky one, but no.
Ryan Griffin, plus
310. It's just to me every week. Every week it's Ryan Griffin, and I'm like, oh, no, because it's Ryan Griffin. But I'm also like, that feels like the exact type of person who's going to score a touchdown here. So, yes, Ryan Griffin.
Tevin Coleman, plus 350.
Plus 350. They were giving him a lot of work last week down in the red zone, and at the end of the game, it seemed like they were trusting him with it. So, especially if the game's any type of close, at plus 350, I don't mind throwing a little something on that at plus 350 again, just because of the way they were using him towards the end of the game and those goal line situations. It does seem like they might trust him in more of a clutch a moment. So go ahead, throw a little something on three plus 350 there.
Tyler Kroft plus 350 seems like a bad bet since it doesn't appear that he's going to play. Zach Wilson plus 350.
Now, it's always tempting, but he'll be throwing touchdowns, not running them.
Braxton Berrios plus 410.
Man, no.
Frank Darby plus 410.
No, I can't see that.
Lee Smith, not the former relief pitcher, plus 500, for those that remember Lee Smith from the Cardinals back in the day.
I was going to say, man, like, he played baseball in, like, the 70s and 80s and stuff. Like, what's he doing still around? Like, wow. Go, like, the reverse Tebow route. So, no.
Matt Ryan, plus 500.
Yeah, no, I'm just visualizing Matt Ryan trying to run a bootleg in the end zone right now, and it's making me laugh.
Wayne Gallman, plus 500.
Nah.
Daniel Brown is going to take a break from writing some books and try to score a touchdown. He's plus 620.
No.
Denzel Mims, I don't really like this one because I don't think he's going to be active, and even if he is, I don't see him doing much, plus 620.
Oh, see, the thing is that if you bet on Tyler Kroft, you're probably going to end up getting your money back because it's going to be pulled from the board. If you bet on Denzel Mims, you got the chance that he will be active. He just won't see the field. So absolutely do not take the Denzel Mims bet because, again, I am a full believer in his talent still. I just don't know what's going on here, how it's ever going to come to fruition here with the Jets in this situation right now. So just no. If you want to do anything, go with the no and the unders on his stuff.
Keith Smith, +620.
Well, when are we going to get to a week where, like, I know all the names? I know the NFL really well. Like, I did not think there was this many people that I didn't know in the NFL. But every week, you're rattling off a bunch of names. I'm just like, who? And, yeah, so no.
Jeff Smith, +820, wouldn't take that bet because he's not going to play. Parker Hess, +820.
If you say so, no.
Total passing touchdowns, Matt Ryan, over under 1.5.
I could see him just getting two Cordero Patterson on little dump offs, but I'm going to take a bold stance here. I'm going under.
Total passing touchdowns over under 1.5. Zach Wilson.
The only concern I have right now is it feels like it might come off like I'm have way too much confidence in the Jets and right now, and I promise you that's not the case. But I do think that there's some of this. These numbers are off just and under the Jets a little bit too much. Give me the over there. Yeah, he can get two against this Falcons defense. He can get two.
Total passing attempts. Zach Wilson is over under 33.5, and Matt Ryan is over under 34.5.
All right, so I'm this is attempts. I'm going over on both of them. The only thing that I can making me think under on Zach Wilson is if they're comfortable enough, they would like to run the ball so much that he doesn't hit that number, but I don't think they'll be able to have a comfortable enough lead. So I'll go over on both of them.
Total completion. Zach Wilson is over under 21.5. Matt Ryan is over under 23.5.
I'm going to go under on both of them there. Just to play a little safe there. I think they get the attempts. If I'm going to go over on one of them, be Wilson. I just don't know who else besides Cordero Patterson, Matt Ryan can complete passes to. Some to Pitts, but not enough.
Total passing yards. Zach Wilson is over under 242.5. Matt Ryan is over under 263.5.
That's a small number. I'm going under on both.
Total rushing yards. Mike Davis is over under 44.5. Michael Carter is over under 46.5.
Mike Davis barely creeps over. Michael Carter can definitely get that.
Total receptions. Corey Davis is over under 4. Jamison Crowder and Cordarrelle Patterson are both over under 4.5.
They keep going with 4 for Corey Davis week in, week out. Oh, and I like that. I'm going to keep taking that. 4.5 for Jameson. That's right there on the line. With Elijah Moore coming back and Keelan Cole, I'm going to go under on Jameson. I'm going to go over on Cordero Patterson, considering the way they're using him. And I think that they just don't have that many options. But the Jets would be smart to try to go, that Belichick route of being like, we're going to take away what's been working best for you. And that's clearly been Cordero Patterson, but that might be trickier. So over on him, under on Jameson, and over on Corey.
Over under reception yards. We'll start with the Jets. Crowder, 54.5. Davis, 58.5.
Give them both over on both of them.
For the Falcons, Patterson over under 44.5, Olamide over under 42.5, Davis over under 21.5.
Cordero and Davis, give me the overs on. Again, especially watching how the Titans use that screen game. Go ahead and try to take advantage of Mike Davis. Over on both of them and under on, the other guy.
Now, to close out the show, we'll get our picks for the week from our friend Walter Cherepinski over at walterfootball.com. Walter, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thanks, Scott. Last week I said I was going to bet the Jets, and I'm going to do that again this week. I'm not as confident, though. Coming into the week, I thought I was going to be on Atlanta because the Jets are down some of their safeties, including Marcus May, against Atlanta's receivers. But Atlanta's receivers are now out of the game. Calvin Ridley and Russell Gage are out, so I think that benefits the Jets. The one thing I'm worried about with the Jets is that they had a huge celebration after their win. There was a Gatorade bath for the head coach. So I wonder if they're going to be a little bit flat, but I think the spread's too high. I think Atlanta and the Jets are about even, so given that the Jets are plus +3 in London, I like them here for a little bit. Going on to some of the games I really like this week, so staying in the AFC East, I like the Dolphins at plus +10 against the Buccaneers, which may sound weird until you look at what the Buccaneers have done this year. They played some close games. They barely beat Dallas. They barely beat New England. They got blown out by the Rams, and their one big win was against Atlanta, but that involved Matt Ryan throwing two pick sixes in the same quarter. So Tampa hasn't really blown out anyone, and they play on Thursday, so they could be a little bit distracted. Brian Flores used to coach Tom Brady. He might have some tricks up his sleeve, kind of like Bill Belichick did last week. So I think this number is too high, especially considering that the Tampa is down some of its cornerbacks, and I think the Dolphins could get a backdoor cover if they need it. I also like Cincinnati plus +3 against the Packers. So the Packers are not going to have Jair Alexander. They're going to be down two offensive linemen against a Cincinnati defense that's pretty good. The Bengals have played very well this year. They beat Pittsburgh better than Green Bay beat Pittsburgh, and Cincinnati did so on the road. So I like Cincinnati here plus +3. I think this spread is just based on name recognition. I think if you look at these two teams, they've been about even. Maybe Cincinnati's been a little bit better this year, so I like the Bengals. I also like the Vikings minus -9.5 or minus -10 against the Lions. The Lions are going to be down three starting offensive linemen, which is a huge deal. T.J. Hockenson's also banged up, and plus Detroit's defense is pretty terrible, so I don't see how they stop Minnesota. Moving on to the late afternoon games, I like San Francisco plus +5.5 against the Cardinals, which, you know, it's not going to be popular among most bettors because everyone's eager to bet the only undefeated team left. But I think Arizona might be flat off its big win, and they're going to be down four of their top five cornerbacks. Byron Murphy's out. Several other guys are not going to play either, and they don't have any film on Trey Lance, and so that may hurt them. I think Deebo Samuel could have a big game, especially with no one to cover him in the slot. So it's a divisional game, and San Francisco could pull the upset. I wouldn't be surprised if that happens. Finally, I like the Chargers minus -1.5, or actually it's up to 2.5 now against the Browns. I don't know what happens to the Browns. They're mostly healthy, but looking at their injury report this week, it's brutal. Like, most of their guys are on the injury report. They have multiple players injured at the same positions. It's just going to be brutal for the Browns here to recover from last week's close game, and the Chargers are playing very well. I think the spread's underpriced. If you remember, the Browns were at Kansas City. They were plus +6 to begin the year. Now they're only plus +2.5 at the Chargers. I think the Chargers are underrated, and I think they could win this game. So those are the WalterFootball.com Week 5 picks. Back to you, Scott.
Thanks, Walter. Make sure you check out everything they're doing at WalterFootball.com. A lot of draft content, plenty of gambling and fantasy. It's all there right now, and it's constantly being updated. WalterFootball.com. And check out everything that we're doing over at PlayLikeAJet.com and the Play Like a Jet YouTube channel. Lots of film breakdowns. There are going to be plenty of them after the game from Luke Grant. Kayla Pace has her commentaries, Pace's playbook. So make sure that you check those out. And if you haven't given us a 5-star review on iTunes for the podcast yet, if you could go ahead and do that for us, really appreciate it. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. Doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts and content, you know where to go. That's Play Like a Jet Digital and PlayLikeAJet.com.